We're talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, chair of the House Agriculture Committee as well. And about a week ago, Congressman, you and the other leadership within the Senate and the House Agriculture Committee sent a letter to the Supercommittee, a pledge of $23 billion in cuts in agricultural spending. And it seems like at that point there was also indications that you would be trying to come up with some ways, specifics of how you would actually accomplish that, making that kind of that promise to the super committee. Bring us up to speed of what's been going on between you and Ms. Stabenow and your ranking members over the last few days.
First off, let me say, Ron, I think the unique thing about the House and Senate Ag Committee in putting this $23 billion number together is, best I can determine, this is the only situation where a Senate and House committees of jurisdiction, where Republicans and Democrats are working together to try to come up with a common position to present to the select committee, which is, by the way, challenged with reducing federal spending by $1.2 trillion, $1.2 trillion. So $23 billion of that we would propose to come out of the ag stuff. I would also note that the $23 billion number that we agreed to amongst our the four essentially was $10 billion less than the president had talked about, $10 billion less than the speaker of the house had talked about. So two major accomplishments there. Now, having been able to work together to achieve what we believe is a doable target goal of $23 billion, we've been in discussions about how you would turn that into real policy. And I can say from the perspective of the majority staff of the House Agriculture Committee, for basically all year long, we've been trying to war game policy-wise, different options, different perspectives. Our listeners know that the direct payments are under great pressure out there politically. The leadership at the White House, the leadership in Congress, outside groups, the Tea Party movement, we're just under great pressure. How you come up with a way to provide a safety net that is functional in all regions and in all commodity groups, using crop insurance and some form of revenue assurance, that's the challenge now that the principals of the four of us are discussing. We're not there yet, but how do you come up with a way to continue to meet the needs of rural America, production ag, and do it with the dollars that are available to us? That's the challenge, Ron.
At this point, what seems to be the priorities, first of all, on that safety net, the commodity title?
Well, trying to provide some certainty to producers. The direct payments have historically provided a stream of income that producers could go discuss with their banker, that they could plan on for 5 years. How do you come up with a way to tighten up crop insurance and potentially create a revenue proposal that would take the place of the certainty that the direct payments provided? I don't know that such language exists now, but I would tell you in all fairness, that's one of the options that we're in great discussions on. How do you do that? And oh, by the way, I repeat one more time, a farm bill has to be fair to all commodities and all regions. It would be easy enough to draw up a farm bill that would benefit folks who come from parts of the country where they measure the soil in feet and where it rains when it's supposed to. That's not the whole country. That has to be a required element. I would also say that you can't take all of the savings out of the commodity title. If you look at what the President Obama proposed, his $33 billion was going to take essentially $8 billion out of the crop insurance program, a couple of billion dollars out of the conservation programs, and then take everything else out of the commodity title. That's not fair. So we're in all these great discussions about how to provide equity, fairness, and still have some sort of a safety net. I would tell you, Ron, this may or may not be achievable in a short period of time. If it's not, then we will be in the middle of the regular farm bill process next summer, and hopefully we'll persuade the super committee to give us that flexibility. But just a lot of pieces in play right now.
You know, regarding, obviously you mentioned the direct payments. They do have a huge bullseye on the back. A lot of people taking aim at them.
And it's so ironic because they are the most WTO trade compliant part of the farm bill. And in certain commodity groups, think of rice, think of cotton, think of wheat, they have been a very, very big component of the safety net in previous farm bills. And once again, I say, whatever comes out of this process, I've got to have fairness and equity by region and by commodity. If I can't, if that can't be achieved, then there's no farm bill process.
In the discussions with Ms. Stabenow and the other members that you're dealing with, this group of four, what seems to be coming to the top of the surface on conservation?
Generally, a discussion that savings can be achieved through consolidations of duplicative programs, an acknowledgement that in some areas spending might have to be reduced. The goal that I have presented, and I think my colleagues agree with, is essentially you have to maintain the framework of the program. Whether it's EQIP or CRP, those programs have to continue to exist and move forward. We just will have probably in the short run less money to spend on. But there will be less money spent on all programs in the federal government next year, not just ag, all programs.
In dealing a little bit with the super committee and everything, are you is there serious discussion? Is there a real possibility that we could see a fairly complete farm bill go basically under the umbrella of the super committee?
It is possible. Not certain, but it is possible. Think of the super committee of the 12 members, 6 senators, 6 House members, half Republicans, half Democrats. You have one senator with a great deal of personal ag experience, Senator Baucus from up in Montana. On the House side, you have Congressman Camp from Michigan, who served on the Agriculture Committee of the United States House before he went to Ways and Means. They, other than those two individuals, there's not a real depth of personal experience on the committee, and they're limited in staff. So it makes it all that much more challenging to have a final document in the timeline that's available.
What about your rest of your House Agriculture Committee? What's your game plan of trying to bring them along with this whole
I'm
concept?
I'm having conversations every day with the members. I've been having conversations with the commodity groups and the general farm groups out there. We're listening. We're discussing things back and forth. I think my committee members understand that this is an unusual, extraordinary kind of a process. But they will have their chance to look it over, if there's something to look over.
USDA, Mr. Vilsack gave a fairly comprehensive farm policy speech yesterday. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that, any of that as of yet, but are you getting some input from them as well?
Well, we're, of course, as we've spent the whole summer and fall working through potential options, we're trying to discuss things with USDA because they have to implement the laws, they have to craft the rules, they have to enforce the rules. We're trying to listen to their input, but by and large, this is going to be a budget-driven process.
And, you know, from what you've been able to, again, talking to Ms. Stabenow, talking to the super committee, looking at all the pieces, what is the timing, best you can tell?
I would say to you that in order to be a part of an overall legislative package, something has to be in the hands of the Committee of 12 in legislative form, certainly in early November. It's a very tight timeline.
It's a lot of words to put on paper, isn't it?
A lot of words to put on paper, and that's why I make my comment. While if I can be a part of an effort with my colleagues to craft a document that locks in our resources for the next 5 years, I want to be a part of that. You can't hold your breath. There are just so many pieces in movement, and the policy issues are so complicated. It just, there's no guarantee that this can be done in a workable fashion. And I will not be a part of an effort that excludes regions of the country. Everyone has to be treated in an equitable fashion in this bill, if there is going to be a bill.
One last question, Congressman. That has to do with, you know, looking back, maybe home, and really, I think your farmers and ranchers fairly representative of a lot of folks around the country. What word would you give specifically to them about this whole process? How this thing's coming together?
To take a deep breath and to understand in production ag we're going to do our part of addressing the national debt. Continue to send your input through your organizations and individually, and understand we're trying to do the best we possibly can. And hopefully something can happen, but do not be surprised if in this set of circumstances, it's just not possible to get it done. Just don't be surprised if we don't wind up back with a regular order next summer.
Fragile situation.
Well put.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma's 3rd Congressional District and the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, talking about this whole farm policy development scenario that is going through the super committee. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.